Welcome back, folks. Ring the Bell Pods Talk. Myself, Nick Kreider, and three-time All-Star Heath Bell. We're back for another week, and opening day has come and gone. We lost the first one in a blown save, and then we take three from Arizona. Now we get one win in San Francisco and two losses. Pretty heartbreaking two losses, if I would say. But the biggest struggle that I've seen is that we cannot produce any offense at all.
Okay, really quick. Hard struggles, what, that we get murdered, or the really good baseball game we lose 2-1?
Well, we lost 2-1, but I mean, pick your poison, right? Your starting pitcher allows 9 runs, or your entire offense doesn't put up any hits and can't produce any runs.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you get your butt whooped, when your starter gets knocked out in the second inning, gives up 9 runs, that's a miserable loss. Like a 2-1 game, you're like, okay, you know, if we're there, we could probably see, okay, maybe we did a little bit differently in this situation. If he would have thrown a different pitch, if we would have tried to steal a base or something, we're in that game or whatnot, right? But we were in the game the whole time. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, we still have opening day in Petco Park. So
yeah, Joe's got
the thing is every road trip, I mean, it was a successful road trip, I'd like to say, just San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, it's a winning road trip, which is fine.
And you want to win the majority of your games at home, and you want to try to win every series, but on the road, you want to try to play 500. That's kind of like the goal.
Right.
You can play above 500 on the road, because it almost like, given that you're going to be 500 at home, I mean, above 500 at home, then you're going to have really good.
You also can't drop those series against the worst teams in the division, right? Like Arizona and Colorado. I mean, Colorado's looking good so far, but of course, Arizona, you cannot have a losing record against them. And that's what happened last year.
Yeah. You can't lose the games you shouldn't lose.
Right.
You know, when you're better, like, you know, when we lost to Colorado or even Arizona, it was like, we should be beating these people. Especially late in the season, we had
not good teams.
Yeah, and it's almost like we just walked in thinking that we were going to win because we were a better team, and it just didn't happen last year. But I think Bob Melvin will help that out. I really do.
What do you make of Yu Darvish? Because right now, it seems like we don't know which Yu we're going to get from start to start. His first start, he goes 6 no-hit innings, comes out because of pitch count, which is understandable. It's the first game of the season. But his next outing, he can't even get through 2 innings, and he allows 9 runs.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I'm very unfortunate. I didn't see Yu Darvish pitch, probably because I missed the first 5 innings. I mean, first 5 minutes.
Yeah, but his outing was pretty quick.
But it was, Yu Darvish is a solid pitcher. The thing is, I just don't think he's a number one. I think he's a number three pitcher right. On your rotation. He's not a number one. That's the one thing that I kind of worry. I mean, Snell, I kind of see him as a number one for us, but really, I don't see anybody else as being really a number one. And like, you know, when you have like Clayton Kershaw, you know, he's just a name. What name drives fear in you know, the opposing team's batters? Nobody really. It's like, well, if he's on, he's on, but most of the time he's not on. So,
right.
I mean, everybody was really excited about our starting pitching, and I was happy about our starting pitching, but I'm still worried about starting pitching for us. I think it'll be okay. I think it'll be fine. You know, but, you know, the offense is one of those things that, I mean, look at when Tatis Jr. last year wasn't in the lineup, our offense kind of slacked. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if, I mean, he brings that excitement, but there's 8 other guys hitting.
I also believe that when he's in the lineup, there's a lot more stability between which positions players play. Like when he's not in the lineup, you have Kim who's rotating with Abrams, right? And then the outfield's kind of a mixed bag of chips as well. When Tatis is in the lineup, everyone's spots are solidified. And you talk about it all the time. Guys have to play every day to get into a groove.
Well, here's the thing is like, you know, I think Abram, great. Like, why didn't he start opening day? Even though I wanted to win that bet and I didn't want to shave my goatee. But if he's not there, why is he not playing every day? Why is he, you know, at least playing the first, you know, couple days? It's going to be interesting. Is he going to be the opening day starter, or are they just going to flip-flop, you know, every day? Or it's, if you get a hit, do you stay in the lineup? If you don't get a hit, do you not stay in the lineup? Like, what's the deal? And, but you know, it's like the lineup. Is Grissom always going to be our leadoff man? Profar?
Oh, I hope not. He's the least producing offensive bat we have right now.
So like, here's the thing. And I tell kids this all the time, especially when I coach them. And I tell my son this. I mean, he bats like, you know, four and five is his kind of main spots. But he's a But here's the thing: if even when, like, say I was batting him third a couple of years ago when he was 12 and stuff, if he was struggling, I'm going to put you down 7 or 8. You're going to get more fastballs, you know, because here's the thing, even in the big leagues, it happens because you respect every big leaguer, but, oh, hey, it's 7, 8, 9. You just got to throw strikes. You're going to get them. You're going to get them out. You know, be careful. This is the heart of their lineup or the top of their lineup. So move them down the lineup a little bit, get, you know, especially early on, everybody wants to get that first hit. They want to get going. And then when you kind of struggle the first week, you start pressing a little bit. I've seen guys do it numerous times. I've seen Adrian Gonzalez do it and he's a great hitter, and he almost hit 300 every single year, like a 290, you know, career batting average. But guys do it. They do it. And, you know, eventually, even Machado, I think when Machado's first or second year, he wasn't hitting well, and everybody's like, don't worry about it. He's a veteran. He'll figure it out. And he did. He ended up hitting 300 or 290, but guys are pressing. Move them in the lineup a little bit. But like I said, going back to it, where are all the guys in the lineup? We should have a set lineup except for two or three guys, and it shouldn't dictate all the time.
Yeah.
But then, you know, one of our first basemen's tearing it up right now, sitting almost 400.
Well, the other first baseman who's been playing primary DH, Luke Voit, is getting on base a crazy clip right now. I mean, his on-base percentage is like almost 500. He's been walking a lot, which just as good as a base hit to me.
Not to me.
You don't think so?
No. It, when I'm pitching and I walk somebody, I feel like I made the mistake. Mm-hmm. When somebody got a hit, I could throw a bastard pitch. I could throw a pitch off the ground and the guy hits it. I'm like, damn, how the hell did you hit that? When you walk somebody, it's kind of like, I put him on because I felt like, let me tell it this way. I walked Barry Bonds twice. I pitched to him.
You're not the only one.
I'm not going to let this guy hurt me. I'm going to get the next guy out. And I used to get him out all the time.
What was your lifetime stats against Barry? You know,
0-2 with 2 walks, popped out twice.
Wow.
Once in San Francisco, one in San Diego, and then 1 walk either way. And funny story about that.
Take you deep.
Nope. So funny story. Clay Hensley, gave up the game tying, or the not the game tying,
the record tying, right?
The record tying home run in Petco Park. The next guy that Barry faced was me, and I got him full count. And I do believe I threw a backdoor. I threw a backdoor curveball. We were winning 2-1. It was a close game. Threw him a backdoor curveball. I was like, he's not going to hit this out. I'm not going to have him pull the ball. It was a strike right on the black. The umpire called it a ball. I was like, ah, but Ryan Klesko was on deck. And I'm like, okay, I get him out. No problem. Struck him out in like 3 pitches. Sorry, Ryan, if you're listening, but, cause I loved watching Ryan play anyway. But pitching to him was really easy. But so after the game, we ended up winning. Trevor, you know, I was a setup guy. Trevor Hoffman pitched the ninth inning. We won. We got the win. I think I got the hold that day. I think it was the 7th or 8th inning. And the press came and talked to Hensley, and then was talking to me. And hey, what was it like facing? He could have hit the record off you. And I said, didn't he just break it off of, you know, Clay? And he goes, no, he tied it. I went, oh shit. Like, I seriously thought in my head, like, oh, he broke it. Okay, no problem. I'm just pitching to him. Not worried about it. And they're you seriously didn't know? And I go, yeah, I didn't know. I had no clue.
It's kind of like you assuming that you already made the roster in spring training.
Yeah, it was literally one of those things. Just like, I'm here to get you out and I want to win the game. I don't care about all the other aspects.
And we got the win, right?
Oh yeah, we definitely did. But it was just, I have a bunch of little stupid stories like that.
Hey, it's not stupid. Padres fans love that.
I'm just saying, I you know, my wife always calls me stupid. So I just say it's one of
her wife's
stories, AKA stupid, AKA dad. Cause I have a lot of dumb dad jokes. Like, I'll give you one dad joke. It was great. We went to Hamburger Joint yesterday and I told my little guy, I just looked at him. I go, hey, why are the buns never touch each other? Do you know why? And he just kind of looked at me and I go, because there's beef between them. And he just looked at me and was like, stop.
We appreciate it. I was
like, no. And then somebody heard that joke, one of the other dads, because we were going to my son's game. And he's like, dude, you need to stop reading the dad joke books. And I'm like, hey, they got it for me for last Christmas.
I mean, you can maybe write one.
I probably can.
But speaking anyway. Speaking of beef, though, you've had beef with AJ Preller about the potential trades he's made. But there is a trade that I think he's done pretty well on. It's the Sean Manaea trade. Sean Manaea's first start, he goes and also does a hitless sheet in game number two. And then he comes out and only allows two runs against the Giants. It goes in the stat sheet as a loss, but at the same time, he pitched pretty well. And we needed that pitching depth if Blake Snell was on the IL, if Clevenger's in the IL, and if Yu Darvish is unreliable.
Yeah, Sean, right? His first name?
Sean Manaea, yep.
Yeah, Sean.
All-time slow, too.
Yeah, he's got some hair I wish I had.
The battery. Have you seen him and Alfaro together? I mean, that's an all-time duo.
That's a shampoo commercial, I gotta say. We just in San Diego, we should do a shampoo commercial. Whoever in San Diego has shampoo that's made in San Diego, call us up. We'll make it work.
Yeah,
we'll do a little YouTube video or something like that. But he's been a sweet pickup. I mean, AJ, I've never had beef with him or towards him. I've had towards him because I don't like what he does. I think the Padres have had such a good team and he just doesn't, he makes stupid moves. I'm going to say it, but this one I think was a big move. I think it was good. And Sean, I think you're great, but where's Mackenzie Gore? You know,
he's in the locker room now. He's going to make a start here pretty soon.
I know, but why didn't he make it right off the bat? I mean, what just happened that we needed to call him up?
Well, Blake Snell got hurt.
Has he pitched yet?
No, he has not. Blake Snell's going to go on the IL on Friday, and Mackenzie Gore will start in his place.
No, so but my whole aspect in the long scheme of things is he's made some bad choices,
right?
You know, but you know, it is what it is. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a young arm, right? So you want him to keep developing, in my opinion. And you have five guys if they're fully healthy. You have six guys if they're fully healthy that could be in the rotation, right? And
oh yeah.
And there's a couple guys who are not healthy now. So now he's got to step it up. But we did trade away Paddock as well, who had a really tough game against the Dodgers.
I think that was fine, though. I really do.
No, yeah, that was fine. We ended up getting an all-star closer in Taylor Rogers.
Yeah. I think we're upgraded. I think AJ's made some good decisions. I just don't think – I think Sean Manaea. I'm always gonna mess up his last name, but
got that one right.
I think he's a good pitcher. He can be a great pitcher, and I love him, especially with the hair and the left hand. And just
love what Bob Melvin has to say about him, just being the ultimate teammate. I mean, he coached him in Oakland for his entire career, and I'm sure that Bob Melvin rallied for AJ to make that trade. But he is the ultimate teammate. It seems like even when he's not pitching, I mean, he's there. You know, getting in the action when a guy hits a home run. I love it.
Yeah, I really do. I like him. I think it would be fun to be in the locker room with him. He looks like a great guy.
Any guys in the locker room when you're playing that kind of resemble his characteristics? Like, who was the ultimate teammate for you?
The ultimate teammate? Doug Brokell was Scott Harrison, Kevin Kuzmanoff, Nick Hundley, probably the ultimate teammate for me, to be honest with you. Mike Adams in the bullpen.
Big Mike.
You know, but I think Sean was definitely, I mean, David Wells, I think probably, I think David Wells is awesome. Yeah. I think they're probably the same amount, except David was just, you know, he's more, you know, pitched in Yankee Stadium and he was at the end of his career. But
right.
I think just being a great team player, wanted the team to get together and do stuff. I think that's probably the way Sean looks right now. I think that's where David Wells probably was at the time.
Yeah.
Just older.
Boomer coming back to play for his home team. And I was just trying to enjoy the last couple of years of his career. I get that. But we're looking forward to the series against Atlanta. first game's back at Petco. Joe Musgrove on the bump, hometown kid. They scheduled it so he can open up the series. Obviously, we need to make some improvements in our hitting, but what else would you like to see improving wise?
I'd like to see, you know, the guys, I feel like maybe it's just me as a pitcher, but it looks like they're trying to hit home runs, that they're, you know, they're go out there and make contact. I mean, maybe I'm a pitcher and I'm biased, but it's just, yeah, I see hitters and I'm like, why can't you just, you know, try to make contact and make stuff happen? You know, they're trying to kill the ball. Maybe it's just this type of generation or whatnot, but it's just one of those things.
I'd like to see
the hitters with more contact, I guess you say.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to see more consistency with the lineup, honestly. I think that it's kind of been all over the place, like we mentioned before. And I'd like to see
consistent, like, this is my leadoff guy. This is my two hole.
Exactly.
This is this.
Exactly.
And if our leadoff guy is not doing it, then hey, let's try somebody else for a game or two. Let's put Profar there. Let's just flip flop him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Manny started the year hitting in the two hole and now he's hitting in the three hole. I don't know. Just doesn't make a ton of sense, but you know,
Manny should be in the three hole.
Yeah,
he should be in the three or four hole. But
it could be exactly what you were saying when we started this show a few weeks ago. It's upper management is micromanaging things. And there's analytics guys telling Bob Melvin who to start and who to put where.
Yeah. I really hope that's not happening. It's probably happening, but I believe Bob Melvin is a good manager and he can make those decisions.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe he can say something like, hey, let me be a little bit more free with the lineup. These are the guys I'll play, but these are what I want to do. I mean, hopefully Bob Melvin and upper management or Cybermetrics guys or whoever they're doing it, whoever's making the lineup is talking. And it's just not like, okay, I'll just do whatever you want me to do. And then I'll try to manage the game the best way I can. And I think Bob Melvin's good at that. But, you know, everybody knows I got a problem with upper management because the last couple of years we've done really well, but for some odd reason, we just haven't gotten that extra, got over that hump. You know, like everybody asked me in the pandemic year, is this going to mean anything? And I said, well, if we can do it the next 2 years, if we can get to the playoffs, then it means we have a team. And what happened last year? We didn't do anything. I mean, we started off hot. Choked. We could say we had some injuries and stuff. We had a chance to go get Max Scherzer. We didn't do it. We had a chance to go get starters. And we went and got starters that people released.
Yeah. I mean, Max Scherzer.
We had young talent. Why didn't bring up young talent?
The Max Scherzer thing for me is that the Dodgers overpaid. They gave up their number one and two prospects for him for a rental. Right. And if we're not ready to contend for a World Series, I'm not willing to do that. That would mean we have to give up CJ Abrams and Mackenzie Gore.
Okay. Well, you just brought up Mackenzie Gore and I'm happy for the kid, but if you weren't going to use him last year and he wasn't going to make opening day this year, what was the point? Because if our guys didn't get hurt, then he wouldn't be here.
Yeah. He's still young.
And then CJ Abram, I like it, but we have a future shortstop. I mean, what's the future for him? Put him at second base? I thought we had a potential second base for a long time.
He needs to start getting outfield reps right now, in my opinion. I don't know why it hasn't happened yet.
Because they don't know what they're doing. I mean, if he's going to be the future, like we want him to be a future part of the Padres, like Tatis, why can't we put him in the outfield? Put Kim there, put him in left field, you know, like, and Kim's at short. And then you want to put him to short 2 days later, put him at short, have Kim sit, and then put him back on the outfield and see if he can do it. Just stop this one game here, one game there, one game here. You need a rhythm. Guys need rhythms, you know, you get your feet wet. I mean, baseball, if you're going to hit 300, seven times, you're going to get out at a 10, you know, think about it. If you play three games, you're probably going to get 10, roughly 10 at bats. If you get three hits in those three games, you're batting 300.
Yep.
So, but let's just have him play once every other day. How can you get into rhythm doing that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I, I think that if he's on the opening day roster and CJ Abrams, I believe that he needs to be playing every day. Otherwise, you're ruining his development. He'd be playing every single day in AAA or AA, wherever he was going to be.
Like there's a kid in my kid's high school team. He's a sophomore on varsity. Great kid. He's a good left-handed bat. And they wanted an extra left-handed bat in the lineup. And because we only have one left-handed bat and there's a lot of righties on the team. He's barely playing. He got to play last night and he went 3-for-3 with a walk. And he's kind of the reason that the team won last night. But the thing is, he gets a pitch hitting role here and there. Why is he there?
He needs to swing.
He needs to go play on JV if he's not going to play all the time. He's a sophomore.
I agree.
The kid's good. The kid's going to be good, but you're not using him right, the head coaches. But
yeah, that's the unfortunate thing with baseball is that the lineup is set. There's not like a ton of room for a substitution unless you're pitching. Like with football, like if a kid is on varsity as a sophomore and he's playing football, basically he gets the opportunity to go in and out, right? He can sub in and out as a receiver or defensive lineman or whatever it may be. The thing is, if he's playing on varsity as a sophomore for baseball, it's not like you can interchange him and just give him at bats whenever you feel like it. So I agree with you. If the kid's on varsity, he should be there playing.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. It's kind of like in the big leagues. If your guys, you know, exactly. And what you were just saying with football, I mean, I was thinking basketball, like, yeah, you can bring him in for
basketball
a minute,
too. Yeah.
A little bit, you know, baseball is like, if you're going to be there, at least be the DH, you know? Mm. So like in the big leagues, I mean, we're talking the big leagues, the biggest show of the game or in the world, in your life or whatnot. I just think he should be there. CJ, I'm going to screw your name up. I'm horrible with names, but
it's such an easy name. CJ Abrams.
I know, but I mess up everybody's names. You should see some of my teammates. Anyway, Nick Hundley, I've screwed that name up so many times too. It's just one of those things that guys need to be there. Like, here's the thing. Who's going to be your shortstop? Who's going to get the first crack at being a shortstop? That's the one thing. If Bob Melvin was right here, I'd say, okay, what do we need to do? Or if I'm talking to AJ, okay, who's going to be the shortstop? What are you going to do? Who's going to have first crack at it? So is Kim going to have first crack at it because he did opening day in Arizona? Oh, wait, the second day in Arizona, he wasn't there. So who's going to get first crack at it? And we almost won the game. You know, we just had a bullpen mishaps, but who's going to get a crack at it? We need some rhythm, or are we just going to do this analytics thing every other game? Who's pitching? Who's this? Who's that? Who's this? Then we're not going to win, guys.
Yes.
I believe the Padres can win. I believe the Padres can win, but they're not going to win doing this.
I don't know that any of those guys have actually played back-to-back games. I think they've alternated every single game. They need to get in a groove.
And that's my problem. I mean, you're going to have a pitcher go one inning and then pitch two innings later. You know, you got to get into groove. That's why starters, you got to get into groove. As soon as you get them into a groove, dude, he's filthy. Most starters. That's why hitters try to get the guys out of a groove. Pitchers, when a hitter gets up to the bat, get him out of mess up his timing. You know, timing's huge in baseball. It really is.
Yep.
And you playing every day is one of those things that gets you in a groove, And I think that's one thing we're missing right now. Being in the lineup, knowing you're the two hole guy. I mean, think about it. If Machado's hitting the two hole or he's hitting the third hole, when you're in the two spot and the first guy gets on, you're thinking about getting him over. You're thinking about getting to third. If you're in the third spot in the lineup, you're thinking about getting RBIs. You know, if you're leading off the inning or leading off the lineup, you're thinking about getting on base. You're not thinking about RBIs, you know, and you're not thinking about home runs. You're thinking about getting on base, creating some havoc. So now, think about one day you're a leadoff guy. The next day you're the two-hole guy. Next day you're the three-hole guy. Next day you're the four-hole guy. Seven, you know, if you're in the 7, 8, 9 hole, it's about turning the lineup over.
Yeah, and guys are pitching you differently too in those spots.
Exactly. So now you want our hitters to hit differently, see different pitches, you basically want them to be the best out of all Major League Baseball. That's what you're trying to teach them to do.
Right.
How about just being the best athlete they could be? You know, be the best three-hole guy. Be the best two-hole guy. There's a reason the Cardinals were in the playoffs years in and years out, or they won the World Series.
They had their roles.
Other teams, you had roles, big roles. you know? And now I'm not talking about the Texas Roadhouse, you know, butter rolls.
Oh, those are the best.
Those are really good.
Those are the best. Honestly, Texas Roadhouse, so underrated. I mean, the peanuts, the rolls, the steaks are great. Great environment. I used to love going there as a kid.
Yeah, I even went there when I was in San Diego.
They have one in San Diego?
It's in Escondido or San Marcos. Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. That was me, the kid growing up in Georgetown. So pretty interesting.
I'm trying to lobby to get one here in Georgetown.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come soon, very soon, probably in Wolf Ranch, if I had to guess. I want to switch gears really quickly to a player within the division. You give praise to his manager all the time. Clayton Kershaw goes seven perfect innings, gets pulled out after 80 pitches. So him and Rich Hill are the only two pitchers since 1901 to throw seven perfect innings and get pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Roberts did it both times.
Okay. So, okay. Let's just talk about Clayton Kershaw's time.
Okay.
Right. Do you think it was okay? Cause Clayton was fine with it. So do you think it was okay?
Of course, Clayton's fine with it. Clayton's fine with it because he's a team player and he's not going to say I'm pissed off at my manager, Dave Roberts. But for me, Clayton is long into his career. He knows how to go deep. He's 80 pitches in, right? You're saying that he can't get a 10 pitch inning and another 10 pitch inning to go perfect. It's only been done 23 times. Sure. If it was a no hitter, then whatever. There's a no hitter every year.
I agree with you, but I know Clayton and I know Dave. I think they had a conversation, and this is my gut feeling with Clayton Kershaw. He wants another ring. He wants to win a championship. He wants to pitch in 35 games a year and be one of the guys, you know, like they did. And the last couple of years, he's kind of struggled and had some injuries, and he hasn't been Clayton Kershaw that we all know Clayton Kershaw, you know. And I think he took it as, this is my second outing or first outing. I haven't built up my innings yet. It's first outing, right?
Yeah.
I haven't built up my pitches yet. I want to pitch the whole year. I really feel like that's what he's thinking. Not, hey, I could do something great right here. Because I think they talked to each other and said, hey, do you want to keep going? Or, you know, since you haven't pitched enough, what do you want to do? So it's hard to see, because I see Dave basically having that conversation like Clayton, and where Clayton probably said, you know, hey, I'm probably going to throw 75 pitches a day. He was at 80. Like, hey, at 80, man, you want to keep going? You know?
Yeah.
You know, and have that conversation without having that conversation. And it's one of those things. I mean, we weren't in the clubhouse or in the dugout talking, but they did have a discussion. It wasn't like, what I saw, I just saw some highlights. It wasn't Clayton kind of like looking at him and tilting his head like, come on, let me finish this.
So, yeah,
Dave going, no. So
he's a vet. I mean, he's been there before. He doesn't.
No, but I could see Max Scherzer do that. I could see Verlander do that. I can see Yu Darvish, you know, with his interpreter kind of like, no, I want to play. I want to pitch.
Yu Darvish did get pulled out with a no-hitter. But, I mean – he was six innings in. I mean, I think he threw like 85 pitches. He wasn't going to complete that game unless he was throwing over 110 pitches.
No, I know. But you could see that he wanted to stay in the game, even though everybody's like, dude, you're going to throw 150 pitches if you stay in this game.
The only thing is with Clayton is, who knows? Maybe he gets out of that game under 100 pitches.
I know. Here's the thing. If I was Clayton, I would stay in the damn game. I really would. But It's you know, everybody's different. Everybody's, you know, individual. Like, you know, I will tell you in a couple months, if a couple months or next year, I will be able to talk to Dave about this and I'll get the true answer. And I'll let you guys know as soon as I know. I'm going to let the weeks go a little bit.
You can't text him right now about it.
Everybody, I guarantee everybody's texting him right now going, what's going on? And he's either not responding or like, hey,
any of them.
You know, or he's just going to give the generic, like, hey, he wasn't ready, this and that, where I think if I wait a couple of weeks, a month or so, or when I come out to LA and I talk to Dave, I can actually just say, hey, what was going on with that Clayton, man? Like, just, you know, between you and me, like, what was going on? And then I'll tell all the viewers. But anyway, yeah, but it's just one of those things. They're two really good, nice guys.
For sure. And of course, they're team guys, and I get it.
If Clayton was sitting here right now, I'd be like, what are you thinking? What were you thinking, dude? Come on. Don't give me the BS. I'm helping the team out. Like, seriously, this does not happen.
Let me just put this really quickly out there. So, yes, there is something to be said about his arm. He's maybe not fully ready because it was a shortened spring training, and this is his first start, and of course, you're on a pitch count. But also, what does that do for a locker room when a player throws a perfect game? Doesn't that, like, spark some momentum into the team?
Yeah, but I don't want the Dodgers to have momentum. It's just a sense of pride that you're a part of it. It's not like, oh yeah, we can do anything. Cause if a pitcher strikes out 10 guys and wins the game and he does it 3 times in a row, that sparks momentum, but not like one perfect game. Because think about it. Some of the perfect games the last couple of years, not the last couple of years, but we don't remember who they were, or the no hitters. Yeah. They were on maybe bad teams and just threw a no hitter, and it didn't, like.
Yeah, we had one last year.
but it was great. It was awesome, but it didn't spark any momentum. Maybe it went the other way. I don't know, but true. It was like, because his next outing, everybody's like, "Can he do it again? Can he do it again?"
And you know what? Joe Musgrove almost did it again. His next outing, which is pretty crazy.
I know. Joe seems like a great guy, and I wish he has a big, great career.
I love Joe. And then, you know what? I think a lot, and you could probably speak to this as well as a hometown guy playing for San Diego. I think when he came to San Diego, every time he played against the Dodgers, he was just turning on a different gear. And every time he was playing at home, he was just like, I'm playing like at my home stadium where I grew up watching, where my favorite player is Jake Peavy, and I'm wearing his number now. Like, It's a pitchers are mental, you know, and like, this is a big mental thing. And I think
totally mental. That's why I hated the National League West, and I was going to shove it up their butt every single time. Yeah. Cause it was like, especially we're in Petco Park. Like, I mean, it was Qualcomm or Jack Murphy, but it was like, dude, this is our park. Even though, you know, you grew up watching another park, but this is our park.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming into our house. That's kind of the attitude we took, and at least I took. Yeah, we're all mental pitchers.
Really hoping they extend Joe Musgrove. I haven't heard any talks, but I really do believe that he's probably banking on himself. I think he's placing a bet on himself, knowing that he's going to have a good year this year, so they re-sign him to a big contract.
I think most of our pitchers, Joe should be a great – we should keep Joe for at least four or 5 years.
There's a mural painted of him in San Diego already.
He's a 2 to 3, you know, starter. He's not your ace, but he's that guy that fans come out and watch. He's that guy that fans love, and you've got to keep that, because if you don't keep somebody like Joe, then that core fans of the Padres are like, what's going on? That was one of our favorite players, you know? Yeah.
And the Padres are known for trading away everyone's favorite players. Adrian Gonzalez.
So we hate Joe. We hate Joe. Joe's horrible.
We hate Joe.
Just to keep him there, because I think Joe's kind of like, he could be our kind of like our Jake Peavy, like our core. You know, it's like, why did we ever get rid of Jake Peavy? He was,
and then when it's all said and done, we can retire the number on behalf of both of them.
Yeah, it's just I don't know what management's thinking.
Before we take off, I do want to let the fans hear about your bowling experience in Vegas. I don't think they all know.
Okay. So here's my bowling experience. So here's the thing. So Heath Bell, that you guys probably don't know unless you know me personally, is an avid bowler. I actually carry like a 220 average, 215, 220 average.
What's your high score ever?
It's like 279 or something like that. Never got a 300, but here's the thing. I grew up at a bowling alley. I was that kid that my whole family bowled for fun and all this. And I learned how to bowl on watching Sunday bowling on like CBS or something like that. Used to ride my bike to the bowling alley and throw the bowling balls for like $5. You could bowl for like 3 hours back in the day on Sundays. And anyway, not really knowing what I was doing. Okay. Years later, I ended up meeting my future wife at a bowling alley. I was subbing for my dad's league. He couldn't make it because he had to work late, and saw a beautiful girl. And that's a different story for a different time. But anyway, we ended up getting married and having some kids, but she grew up in a bowling alley and knows everything about bowling. Like different balls, different weights, synthetic balls, you know, all this stuff where I just literally can throw the ball the same exact spot and hard, slow, and get it in the pocket. So I'm learning a little bit more, but I I'm like not even in pro ball for bowling, but I'm actually a good bowler. Like I can't teach anybody to bowl, but I kind of know the gist of what to do, but they're talking about boards, this and that. So when my wife and I, so it was kind of like funny how we met bowling and she loved bowling and I like it. It's fun. When I retired, I joined a league. We decided we'd join a league together and they have a national tournament. And if anybody's ever watched Kingpin, great movie, you know, McCracken. Anyway, he has the Rose Ball and they go to nationals. So it's this big tournament for like, I'm going to get this totally wrong, but it's like 4 month long tournaments, like 80,000 people get in this tournament. Even professional guys get in this tournament. Well, every year it switches. It's El Paso, Texas, Syracuse. This year was in Las Vegas. Next year it's in Reno. And went to Vegas, saw a bunch of people I know. You bowl in a team event, three games with five guys. So we're four bowlers. So one with you. It can be co-ed. It doesn't matter. Then the next day you bowl three games as doubles. You have a doubles partner and then you bowl three games singles. Well, I did horrible the first day. You know, I bowled like 170, 160s. The oil patterns were tough. They're always really hard. Guys that I've seen bowl, you know, 300s three or four times go there and bowl like 120. So it's kind of, it was average. It was respectable. But for me, I feel like if I don't bowl 200, it was a horrible game. That's just the way I am. So, and everybody likes to know, hey, gambling, how'd you do gambling? I said, well, I was up, you know, I was up about a $1,300, I think it was, but my flight was, my wife got my flights. She actually had a tennis tournament, so she couldn't go with me this year. She usually comes and bowls, but she didn't come. And then, she got like a late flight out on Monday and, it was at 7. And then there was a sandstorm. I got stuck at the airport until 10:30 and we just barely made it out. A lot of people were transferring their flights and I'm sitting there going, what am I going to do in Vegas? Just go spend more money. But anyway, the last day I sped up before I went to the airport, I ended up losing the $1,300 I made. I won. So I was giving money away. I lost all the money that I made. So it actually cost me money. It's horrible. You know, if I had my wife there, we probably would have won money. But anyway, she's my lucky chum.
You know where you can win money? Our sponsor, betonline.ag. If you go to betonline.ag right now and put in the promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, you get a free welcome bonus where they'll double your money up to $1,000. So keep that in mind, fans. Keep that in mind, Heath. You can make back what you just lost.
Might do that.
Heath, you're still looking for that ever elusive perfect game, that 300. You're going to get it someday. Hopefully Dave Roberts doesn't text you and tell you to hang it up.
Yeah, I actually, Dave's probably going to text me and I'll do it. But I've gotten almost to 300. The first frame, I got a 9 spare. And then I struck out the rest of the time. It's like, man, I'm definitely a reliever. I'm definitely a closer. I'm very good at usually getting 3 strikes in the 10th.
Have you ever started a game in your career?
The only starts I've ever had was in the minor leagues. I was with the Mets. I was our long guy, and they sent me back to start 2 games in the minors to just get some innings. Mm-hmm. That was my only starts. And so it was in Louisville and Kentucky, both starts. It was like, you know, Monday and then Thursday. It was a 4-game series there. And then I went back to the big leagues. The funny part is I asked the catcher, when do we start warming up? And he's like, I don't know. The game starts at 7. You usually go out there at like 6:20. I was ready right away. So my next start, I said, what time's the game? The game starts at 7:05. Let's get ready at 7. Like, and I still was ready way too early. Like, I'm not a starter, but a lot of guys, when I got to the big leagues, a lot of veterans thought, since I had a good control and I had some pitches, that, man, you started? And I'm like, no, I never started. Even in college, I had more innings than any starter in JUCO and Santa Ana Community College than any starter. But I never started a game. I just would literally come in the 5th inning and finish the game, come in the 4th inning and finish the game, come in the 6th inning and finish the game, every game. So we played 50 games a year. I was in like 36, 38 of them. So it was like every game I played, I was like our only bullpen. If we were winning, I was in the game. So Well, but anyway, get back to bowling. It's so much fun. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe we should do a podcast next year. You want to go to Reno next year?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about baseball.
Let's go to Reno.
What's that?
Let's go to Reno.
All right. It'll be Reno like this time next year. You know, we can go to Reno. We could do a whole big bit on it.
It's about an hour away from Tahoe that we can spend the rest of the day in Tahoe.
Yeah, we can get a bunch of fans to come up. I guarantee that I could get some fans to come with us.
Love it. Get a little posse.
Oh, yeah.
We travel well. All right, anyway. Pods fans. Well, let's get a nice first home series victory against the Braves. Best luck to Joe Musgrove. And Heath, we're rooting for you the next time you roll some balls.
Okay, so really quick. I just want to tell the fans out there, you got to send Nick text, or on Twitter, whatnot. What game should we come to? Should we go to the Dodger game? Should we go which game? Should we go to a visiting game in San Francisco? I really want to go to Petco Park, but let's get together and have a little mix, and we can maybe, you know, talk to some fans there, and then we'll put it on air. We'll record it and put it on air the next day or that night about it. But let us know what during the course of the season, what games that we should get together with the fans and hang out. And, you know, maybe I'll find like a little pub or a place that we can meet and hang out and have a live show. And this, pre-game. And we have everybody talk, do a little pregame thing. So,
yes, sir. Hit us up on Twitter. What's your handle is at HeathBell21.
Yep.
And then
it's really simple.
I'm at Nick_Kreider. Just as simple.
So, all right. Well, have a good one. Until next time, go Pods.
Go Pods, baby.